Let's get her going. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Derek Brandeo, James Wilson. Wilson!
Is it?
And let's welcome back in to the program our very own Sammy McKee.
Testing.
You good?
Sounded okay? Sound all right?
You good?
Yeah, boys, I'm here.
You know, it is something that the last time we saw Sammy, he was fine. Yeah. And today, he's fine. But the first day of the Masters, he was very not fine.
And for the
record, I did the hit with the morning show boys today, and I was like, it's pretty tough for me to say this one.
JB thought you were faking.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, the way you know that I wasn't faking is that I canceled a tea time on Wednesday. I was so sick. So that is if you're going with the smoking gun, I mean, that is the proof in the pudding. I got through, I was as sick as I've been in 10 years for 48 hours.
We're happy to have you back.
So I'm happy I'm back.
Glad you're welcome.
I'm enjoying the Masters. I'm enjoying seeing you two. Didn't enjoy the Leaf game a whole lot last night, but we move on.
Well, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. We're glad you're with us for the next 2 hours on this Friday, final Friday of the regular season.
Yeah.
Week to today, we're teeing up a playoff game.
We are.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're here.
We are. And just remember, it's Friday, so text us at 590-590, especially on Friday, where we typically run out of gas, and your texts actually save our show.
You got to keep us afloat, because otherwise we'll be very distractible today, and we will talk golf if you let us.
No, we can't do golf. There's nothing that gets people more bent out of shape than golf.
Buddy, this is golf or hockey audience. It's got to have heavy golf overlap, does it not?
A little bit. Yeah. A little love for Tiger making the cut for the
24th consecutive time.
24th consecutive time.
Set the record today. Past Freddie Couples.
And I mean, he looks like he needs a wheelbarrow to get around out there.
Yeah. He's just like, it's like he's in like a Halloween costume or something, right? Where you're like, you're
not
stiff,
as mobile right? as you should be.
Yeah, he looks like me in my robot costume.
Exactly.
And he's getting it around Augusta. He's hanging in there.
He is.
I just, like, you know, I'm a diehard Tiger fan. All of us are big Tiger fans, but he's probably my favorite athlete of all time. And I guard against this every year where I'm like, he's done. Yeah. I don't even like this. I don't even want to watch
it. You don't even think you should play.
Every tournament I do that because I want to guard against the horrible other side.
Okay, but
it's like me being like, they got no chance against the Panthers.
He physically looked so much better yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he walks around like he's wearing a Halloween costume.
Yes.
Like, how is he ever going to once again put four great days together?
I don't know that he ever will again.
He probably won't, but put up a couple early birdies tomorrow, boys, and let's get nuts. He's only eight back.
How much Aleve are you allowed to ingest? Yeah. What's the maximum dosage?
That guy's physiotherapist is making his money tonight and tomorrow.
All right. Well, we got the Toronto Maple Leafs with still three games to go. Last night, losers to the New Jersey Devils, a game that JB and I worked for Sportsnet Ontario, so plenty to dissect, but at the end of the day, nobody cares because Austin scored two more, closing in on 70, and people like Sammy, that's all they care about
It's the great scene from The Simpsons with Mark McGwire, and it's something like the CIA, and he's like, do you want to know the horrible truth? Or do you want to see me hit dingers? And everyone's like, dingers!
Honestly, perfect.
It's like, we don't really care what else that meant. Tell us about Austin Matthews.
So, is that where we're at to close out this regular season? That this is Saturday night's about Austin getting 70?
I guess.
Or did we get a few... I don't know, red flags, concerns last night? Where are you on this?
I mean, honest answer is that I'm not that concerned about this because this team does this when they think it's going to be easy or the game doesn't matter or whatever. We kind of get these nights where they're like, I don't know, the stars will go get 2 points.
So you're getting these nights a week before game one in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, it's not good.
Thanks, Brad May.
I don't mind them losing before the playoffs, but like that the way that looked was not pretty.
It was a punt.
It was not, and that's the thing. Like, I saw that Tampa lost to Ottawa last night in a shootout. I'm sure, like, if we were doing a Tampa show, we'd be all going crazy about it too. It's the end of the year. You're playing these crappy teams. I thought Samsonov wasn't very good. I just listen.
Stunk.
I want to say that I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it, but it's hard to watch it as a fan and not be like, oh, there's
I'm
some.
I'm most concerned about the Samsonov thing.
For sure. But, you know, the penalty kill again, three against, you know.
Time to write another article saying it's fine.
Flying around like chickens with their heads cut off. There's just a few things I didn't love.
Yeah.
So are we starting on the overview of the Leafs, or do you want to just put a bow on an Austin Matthews conversation here? Because I'm the first one to have said that it's looking easy and natural and keep them going. It's not like this guy's being pushed or taxed or looks like he's protecting something like in previous years with his wrist here. So everything's hunky-dory. And now we're going into the weekend. Last game of the regular season, Detroit. You're not pulling him out of Saturday night. But after Saturday night, two games in Florida, what's it look like with you and Austin Matthews?
You know what stinks for the Leafs is those final two games, a back-to-back, are the 16th and the 17th. They're going to open the 20th, Saturday night. That's not official. That's conjecture. But it's what's going to happen. So they're going to play 3 days later. You can't, I don't love the idea of him not getting a rest. So I'm going to be the hater here. If you go back and read my article in Sportsnet, I said I want him to score three or score zero. He scored two, you know, and now the chase is on and we're talking about the chase and it feels like it's taking priority over the team goals. And that's such a hater thing to say.
It didn't last week. It didn't the last 10 days.
Are you asking me? Okay.
I'm saying that for me, I'm with you.
Yeah.
In the last week, it didn't feel that way. Last night, it felt that way.
Yeah. Okay, he needs one more.
Let's go to the coach. I put a clip in there about Austin Matthews talking about this, and we can go off of that, okay?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be terrific. I mean, 70 is a nice round number and everything to aspire to, but as I said, I think it's what he's doing right now. It's pretty incredible. He's rewriting the record books, and, you know, there's a lot of Leaf fans that in their lifetime, you know, haven't seen that many goals in the NHL. So, It's pretty remarkable. So, you know, wherever this ends up going, who knows? You know, I wouldn't put any limit on it at this point, but it's terrific to watch. And like I said, I think I thought tonight was probably the first time I saw, especially once he got the second one, we started to force it a little bit to him. And I think it started to break down. I'd love to see that because he doesn't need that. He doesn't need to just play the game. He's good enough as it is. It's gonna find his way to his stick. Yeah, just the way that he himself has just continued to play hard and lead the way for us and embrace his line mates to let that roll while we can work on other things.
So what about, so Keefe agrees with you that they were forcing it a bit to him. What if you basically said to him, clear as day, no waffling, you got two games. You're not going to play the final game of the season, or you're not going to play one of those final two games. You know, is that a reasonable request of the player?
I don't, he can't, it's a conversation that has to happen after Saturday night.
After Detroit.
Because the point could be moot if he happens to throw two in the net Saturday night.
I see your point, and you're so right.
You are not having that conversation. We know he's playing Saturday night.
Yeah.
So the question is, does he get it or does he not get it? And that changes the dynamics of the two games in Florida.
But it's already changed the dynamic of Saturday night. We're watching for nothing else, right? We are not watching for execution, systems play, line chemistry, power play,
no,
connection.
You're right. Distance second.
Distance second. We are watching Will Austin get 70, and that's too bad. It's too bad for the team who's very good.
Boys, the nightmare has been realized.
Yeah.
We're in the exact spot where I've been talking about this for literally, I've been asking about this for three weeks.
Nightmare.
It's not my nightmare. I just,
it's obviously very good.
It's a great, man, amazing thing. Don't make fun of me for saying nightmare.
A man is about to score 70 goals in a Toronto Maple Leaf uniform, and you're talking about it
because
as a nightmare.
Because he wants the team to win.
I can't, like, yeah, I love I'm the 70 you. Goals. I want him to get it.
I get it.
But I don't want him to go into a meaningless game against a team they're maybe going to play in the first round who has a bunch of butchers that are going to be going after him.
Yeah.
Trying to push for him to get 70 goals. They're going to know he wants 70 goals. They're going to be all over him.
I think that there are, the majority of our audience listening to this show is like you absolute haters. This is unbelievable. I love this.
Yeah.
This is exciting. This, I've never seen anything like this.
Those
this
haters
is history.
Haven't got a clue how to win a Stanley Cup. That's what I say to them. Not a clue.
That's why I like to be arm in arm with you, pal. I need you to say that because okay. I agree with the logic.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am now at the point where I woke up this morning, and I'm not telling Austin anything, but I'm telling myself, you get your two goals Saturday night, or then
priority is not you.
Then it completely drops. And in a perfect world, he gets his two Saturday night, and I'm not thinking about maybe shutting him down for one Florida game. I may shut him down for two.
My only thought on that, and I get that too. My only thought is that's a long, it's a week. It'd be a week between games. Is that too much hockey to go into game one, you know, not having played in a week?
He's going to get it Saturday night. So, I mean, that's the moot point here is that
here's what I am going to bet Saturday.
Two goals.
No, plus 9.5 shots.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get.
Well, he owns Detroit. He's got 31 points in 23 games against him, 16 goals. Like, he owns Detroit. He'll score against
him. Based on what I saw last night against New Jersey, I'm not sure I'm looking forward to what it means to the rest of the team and that look, that continual look from last night for everybody else. It's now so separated for me.
Which,
Austin and the 70, and then what you had said before, what about this, and this?
Power play stinks. Penalty kill. Gave up three. Goaltender. Awful. I mean, they got juice out of Tavares. Tavares had a good night. D looked a little suspect. Brody was bad. Edmondson had a tough moment. You know, it was not a night of highlights when you lose to the New Jersey Devils.
Okay, we're going to get into all of those things that you just checked. But first, let's get the overview of the game last night through Sheldon Keefe's eyes on our first Kippers Clipper.
Loose game, strange game. We score first shift, first shot, and, you know, we give them a couple of gifts after that. So, yeah, strange game here tonight. Obviously, it's you know, not one that you'll love, but we'll move on.
We'll move on. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Really dismissive of holding anybody accountable last night.
I wonder if that's
and I'm not
externally
sure.
dismissive.
I don't know where I'm at in terms of going at them too hard and completely letting them off the hook from last night. Like there's some things that you need to work on here, including specialty teams, which would be at the top of my list. Yeah. And just to kind of shrug it off, I'm not on the same page
but
as Sheldon off of that.
I don't think you owe the media that. I'm sure he's aware of those things and wants to address those things or whatever. I don't think you need to make it a public.
Well, you don't need to get into details. Yeah. But, you know, you can also say that, you know, last night didn't make me happy.
I had a couple coaches who, over the course of the year, it was like a tear you down, build you back up sort of thing. In the first half of the year, really hard, really all over you, you know, and really kind of made you feel like not great about your game at times. And then in the second half of the year, it's like, nice play. And you're like, oh, I am kind of going. And you build you back up. And by this time of year, you kind of stopped hearing negative things and you're feeling like, God, I'm the best I've ever been. I think there's some merit to, at this point, you're not teaching any new lessons. There's no accountability that they didn't have before. I'm okay with Sheldon. You're right. The whole we'll move on. I don't think they're going to move on internally.
Yeah, and I think, well, if you're going to save your big-time media bullets, maybe week and a half away from last night would be the time to do it, as opposed to a meaningless one against the crappy Devils.
Yeah.
Well, and that included Samsonov as well, which, what's the word you used? Stunk? What did you say?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know what you said.
Pick an adjective around that, a synonym for stunk, and I'll say that was me.
Yeah, that to me last night, Samsonov was as bad as anything we saw prior to being waived.
Very similar, just in terms of on the ice five hole with just the heel of a stick on the ice. And
so I get it. You want to protect him too because you don't want to strip any of the building blocks that he's had.
Yeah.
So once again, brush it under the carpet. That's fine. But to your point, I think internally they're like, okay, we put all our eggs in this basket here. We gotta make sure he's okay here.
Do we have a second basket?
Do you want to play the clip from the coach about Samsonov? All right, let's hear it.
Clearly hung him out to dry early in the hockey game, so we don't give him much of an opportunity to be in this game here today. So, you know, we'll move on as a team, and we need him to move on as well. He's been outstanding for us, and he'll be outstanding next time out. I was looking at it before the game. I can't remember the number, but I caught my eye the number of regulation losses this guy's had this season. It's pretty remarkable the opportunities he's given us to win this season. So, you know, that rents this one pretty quick.
He's all in on Samsonov.
He's good at drawing your attention to some favorable stat. It's like, you go Google that.
Well, you know, in the back of his mind, it's like, oh, God.
Oh, fire drill in your brain just going.
So I watched that sixth goal. Was it the sixth? Yeah. Where he just
kept going.
He's under the crossbar.
He got out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, he just went like, and made himself smaller, and it went in the top corner right by where he's.
Yeah.
I just was like, that was Columbus, the game that you guys did, Sammy.
But, you know, go ahead.
No, you go.
All good goalies, the best goalies in the whole league.
Yeah.
Have nights where they just play badly.
And you're just praying that was one of them.
That's it. You're just going, hey,
but
even the best players have off nights.
He didn't practice today, but he was on the ice.
Was it the Marlies again?
just him and Curtis Sanford.
I don't think he's clearing this time of year, boys.
No.
So I'm sure it was enough for them, what they saw last night, to go and revisit. Yeah.
Let's drive home those fundamentals.
Yes. Which says we're not concerned, but we're just a tiny little bit concerned enough to say we need you a little one-on-one time with your goaltending coach.
I think there's reasonable criticism to be made about how they've handled their goaltenders over the past little bit. Was that, how many starts in a row was that for Samsonov? Three or four?
Mm.
Three or four, and like all year long it was, is it Wolves, Ned? It was before Wolves' injuries, Wool was the guy, undisputed.
That's the way I read it.
I mean, our show had given him the crease in playoffs.
And after his injury,
still seemed like his.
Here's
Boston, Boston. We're going to give Samsonov, whoever it was.
That to me was, like, looking back, and I know hindsight is 20/20, but looking back to me, that was a questionable decision.
Agreed.
Coming off a high ankle sprain, throwing him in there against one of your rivals back-to-back times was a wild choice at that point.
And to me, it said, whether he does well or doesn't do well, we want to put him in these situations because he's going to be our high-leverage guy eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just said, the guy who's beaten the worst team, Samsonov, is now the guy.
Yeah.
And they gave him all the starts. And Wool hasn't played in, it's got to be 10 days now or something like that.
Three games left.
Yeah.
Saturday night against a team fighting for their lives. Playoff lives.
Huge game for the Wings.
Huge game. We assume Samsonov is going to play.
He is.
Two out of three.
Samsonov starting on Saturday night.
Oh, my God. Right? Is he really?
Yes.
Yes. So that leaves the two Florida games. You got to assume. You got to give Wall one game here.
Well, there's no doubt.
Which one do you give him?
Well, you know, then you're going to give him Florida. And he's, you know, like.
I think you got to avoid Samsonov against Florida Panthers.
For fear he gets lit up. This is we can't play him in the American League for fear he gets lit up. Like,
I think
he's good or not?
I just think you save him. That's the guy that's going to face. I wouldn't show him. I just wouldn't show him against Florida.
I don't think they will. So that's going to be, it'll be Samsonov here. It'll be Wool Tuesday night against Florida. and then Tampa Bay on the final game of the season. Could be Jones, could be Wool again. Could be Wool.
Against Tampa?
Sure, he can go back-to-back. He hasn't played in
forever. Then you're one game out of three for Samsonov.
Yep. You want it to be two? You want Sammy to get a game in there?
I don't know.
I think it's his last start before the playoffs on tomorrow.
Okay, if by chance he gets lit up again, you want to go.
Then he gets another start.
You want to go.
Maybe that's why he's playing, right? Though.
Jersey lit up. Detroit lit up. Game one. No.
This is what sucks about two goalies, boys. I've been saying it for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you never know who the
right.
Almost swore. I'm rusty. You never know who the goalie is.
Austin, do you get 70 or not get 70? Let's see what Samsonov does Saturday night. Will dictate. Mm-hmm. Does he need one more tune up to turn things around?
Sorry. So Wool played in the 5-2 win over the Devils, and it was a 900 save percentage in the ninth. So just a few days ago.
Yeah,
I was off on that.
Okay, I want to get into another conversation because this first 20 minutes is just flying by. And that is home ice. We've had conversations on this. But last night has really done a job on making everybody believe that it's Florida and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And in all probability, the series will start in Florida. But let's get Sheldon Keefe on home ice before we get into that conversation.
How much do you care about home ice in round one?
You play the games. You know, we play the games. We're trying to win every single game. And then and wherever the games end up being played in the end, we'll be ready.
We don't care about home ice.
Okay.
We don't want home ice.
It's the right thing to say. We've had this conversation before. It's like, if you believe you can win, then you got to believe you can win anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that, okay, they're down in Florida. Uh-huh. Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Do you bring them home Wednesday night?
Great. Yes.
Or do you leave them in Florida?
No way. Bring them home.
But, I mean, you're there. You're going to fly across the country and then fly back because what?
If they got...
No one's partying at this point.
If they got 100 sports scientists, they're getting them back to Toronto. Like, they're going to be like, getting your sleep routine.
No, but that's why they were going to want to not travel.
Listen, you're This is the playoffs, buddy, okay?
They're going to stay down there.
This is the playoffs. You know the prep that goes into those first 3 days prior to game one?
This is an insane stretch.
Like, think about this for a second.
The coaching staff.
It's Wednesday night, mm-hmm. okay? And I don't know how you feel about the week as is, but let's say it's a decent feel. You fly them home 3.5 hours. Okay, so you get them home 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. You burn that Thursday.
Yeah.
You got to give them the day off.
No, you're right. They stay.
You've got video sessions. You've got specialty team meetings. You've got a ton of all of that to prep. When are you going to do that? Friday?
Yeah.
You got to practice and you got to fly back. There is no time.
So it's a long trip. Their playoffs start in a few days here. One of my favorite things, so I did the video prep for Sheldon Keefe for 5 playoff series, and the way that he works teams through is a really cool session where basically, you know, you have all the lines put up there. Each guy has his own section of, like, notes on what they do, their tendencies, whatever. But it's really cool the way they open it up to the dressing room and say, who's played with this guy? What can you tell us about him? What does he not like? Is he a guy we want to get in his ear? Or do you want to stay out of his head? Like, it's the prep, well, for a video coach in particular, there's not much sleep over that time. That time frame is crunch time.
Game one and game two factor in this road trip that walks you to Florida. Prior to that, They're on the road for like 10 days, 11 days.
The only thing this now makes me think.
Before you play one home playoff game.
This now makes me wonder, will some of these guys not even go to Florida Tuesday?
That's why I'm sitting there going, Austin, get your 70 because.
You might stay home and we'll send you down there for Thursday.
You might miss those games.
Yeah.
Luke Fox, our intrepid reporter, just texted me. He said, listening to your convo, they are staying in Florida.
They are.
Oh, it's already done deal?
That's what he said.
So. Oh, they announced it?
Well, I mean, well, Luke knows, so.
Yeah.
Luke, okay. Luke, you better be right.
No, he's always right.
Oh, listen, the other way is just a disaster.
Oh, yeah, he's ruined. Oh, coming back, you mean?
Yeah, coming back home.
I thought you meant he was wrong. It's like, I don't think it's
No. I'm with Luke on this
one. That's a long time away from home, boys.
I know.
It's a long time.
I know.
But that may be the best thing for them, you know? You know, my dad's Islanders teams, they stayed in the hotel at home.
Or home ice advantage would have been the best.
I don't think so. They pooped down their leg every
game. Oh, if they had success at the end of the year and caught them and got home ice and we all started talking about how great they were, that's when they're at their very worst.
Exactly. They pooped down their leg immediately.
Thoughts on Max Domi? We're going to probably take a break in a little while, but we got enough
Minutes here.
We got some time to get into Max Domi's fight last night, and something that we talked about in the intermission is Leaf fans wanting or looking for this type of look for a while now. Did it serve its purpose?
I think
some liked it, some didn't like it.
Well, my controversial take on this is like, it's just fine. It's good. You know, like he didn't like it and he stood up for his teammate. Maybe should have, maybe shouldn't have, but he decided he should.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who am I to say, like, what you think is over the line for worthy of pumping somebody?
But I think it sends a message to your team that, like, I'll do this.
Yeah, Luke Fox, again, he tweeted out he's literally fighting to stay on Max's line. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
David Amber made up a very good point on our telecast last night. Is that what you want to see in the playoffs? And it's like, no. First of all, he's going to have a different approach on it.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, to send that message. What last night does is plant the seed that I am capable of doing this, and sometimes that's enough and willing, and that might be enough on its own. But certainly in a playoff scenario, if Max went after a player for hitting Austin and ended up being shorthanded or sitting in the box for 10 minutes, that's a bad look.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
He was in the box for 17 minutes.
One thing I do wonder is we're going to get to an update on Max Domi, who is injured in some capacity. And I do wonder if it happened in the fight. You know, like a knuckle when you're grabbing a jersey or something, like something small. Because it doesn't sound like he's hurt. He's going to play in the playoffs, but it sounds like something happened. Very well could have been during that.
Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on Max Domi's fight.
I mean, you love Max. You know, he's all about the team, and he's, you know, he's responding to a situation he felt needed to be addressed, and you know you love that about him. But yeah, it has an impact on the game. Not only you have to kill a penalty, but then disrupts the rhythm and the flow of the bench and you know all of that. But you know, it's, you know, we'll take it. You know, it's, you gotta be able to manage and handle that. But he was playing so well, especially, it's not unideal to lose him for 17 minutes.
Okay, let's follow it up with an update today from Sheldon on clip 7, Derek.
He has an injury. That's, you know, that's a day-to-day situation. So just kept him off the ice today and we'll see how he is tomorrow.
Is there a chance he plays tomorrow then?
But yeah, there's a chance, yeah.
Okay, kind of sounds like he might have got hurt in the fight.
Think so.
Did we see anything else?
Nothing else happened.
Something?
This is what every non-fighting fan will be like, see?
Yeah, I know.
You're one of your best players the last 2 weeks. This fight is stupid. And you're like, that's why you're like, crap.
Yeah.
I wish you didn't get hurt in the fight. But at the same time, like, I thought the reaction, like, I didn't think it was that egregious of a play.
No.
The Nemich battle.
No, he saw Matthews mad about something. Yeah. He was like, if he doesn't like it, then I don't by proxy.
I love the response to it or whatever. Just sucks he got hurt.
Yeah.
Because now we can't talk about it as in glowing fights as we would have. Honestly.
And we don't even know, though. We don't know if that's when it was. So maybe we still can.
The one thing that comes to my mind, again, is you're going to play Florida, one of the most willing teams in the league.
Yes.
When it comes to that sort of stuff. So the one thing, if I was a Florida Panther today prepping for the Leafs, the first thing I would say is, I'm going after Austin.
Yeah.
Because that guy's going to come.
He's getting squirrely.
Right?
Wires are crossing.
You know, though,
And I hope Max
dials it in.
Or now understands that he's got to be impeccable when it comes to making these type of decisions.
I think Max is pretty smart. I think he's pretty mature when it comes to that sort of stuff. I don't see him, you know, off his rocker too often where it seems like it doesn't work for the team. But the other thing there is, I don't think anyone in Florida is changing the game plan saying, let's be hard on Austin now. You know, like, I think that was the game plan. That was when they wrote it up at the top of the pyramid. The first thing we do, punch him in the mouth.
Like, oh, 34.
Yeah.
Oh, that's who we should go after.
Right. So, yeah, the target's been there. It stays there. It, you know what it did do, though? It opened up the door for this Nylander, Tavares, Marner thing that now is going to be a thing and I'm going to be mad about.
Okay.
Shot attempts 14-1 with them on the ice.
Yeah, they were awesome. They've been a two line.
You want to hear from Sheldon on that line?
Yes.
Clip two.
I see lots of potential in it, but want to get them some reps. You know, I see it as something that I can move to through a game. You know, when it's hard to really get rhythm with three lines, I think it's a way to simplify that a little bit and get those guys out there. Yeah, I thought they were really good tonight, actually.
It's a way to panic.
Yeah. Okay, we're not scoring goals.
But. Panic time.
So we can add another star chasing a milestone Saturday night because it ain't just about Austin getting 70. There's Willie who had 100 locked in the bank a month ago.
I know.
He was on pace for 125, I think,
and then Sheldon put him on 8 weeks ago.
And he's pressing, guys. Have you ever seen him shake his head like he did last night?
No, that was a complete outburst of emotion for Willie. Yeah. I mean, this. It's like, ooh.
That's a lot of emotion for Willie.
He never does anything.
He wants it. I will, you know, right now there's 9 guys in the NHL with 100 points. You know, 100, it'd be great. And I want him to get it and all that, but. No one's changing any game plans to get Nylander.
It's what you kind of forget is that Marner sat on 99 and I think didn't play the last game, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
I don't know. Is Willie in the equation for a night off this week?
If
is
Willie needs a night off, they should give him one.
How about Tavares? He was good last night. Craig and you mentioned last night on our telecast that it's a good game for him.
Skating.
He's going hard to the net. He's got energy in those legs.
Yeah, it's night and day for him when he has that little bit of pop. He pulled the one off the wall to get to the middle. You know, you don't always see that. So, yeah, you'd like to preserve that for playoffs.
Yeah, Willie's last goal was March 26th, fellas. Now April 12th.
Wow.
Yeah.
I also do think that Tavares is a little inspired by getting Willie and Mitch on his wings.
Yeah,
I'll do whatever I can to make this stick.
Yeah.
All right, we got a few minutes.
No, we got to go.
We got to hit a break.
We'll go to break?
Yep.
Okay, when we come back, Ken Daniels will join us, 27-year veteran with the Detroit Red Wings, and he's going to help us tee up that all-important game Saturday night for Steve Yzerman's Detroit Red Wings. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right. So welcome in a familiar voice and face around these neck of the woods here in Toronto. Ken Daniels, 27 years. Now as Detroit Red Wings play-by-play man. Kenny, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Kipper. Nice to be with you guys.
Yeah, great. So from one biggest game of the year to another for the Detroit Red Wings as they get ready to tackle the Toronto Maple Leafs Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. It's been a grind here, Ken, for the Red Wings here. I think 2 wins out of 9 tries. Not that... You know, the good news is, although they lost last night to Pittsburgh, it wasn't a regulation loss here. But what do you see out of the next, 3 games out of the Detroit Red Wings starting Saturday night?
Well, they're already, you know, destiny wasn't in their hands. They needed help. So, you know, to come back from 5-3 down last night to get a point was huge against Pittsburgh. And now Pittsburgh – is one in front and tied with Washington. Washington loses to Buffalo, so you're thinking, okay, that's good. Red Wings fall behind 5-3, give up a shorty, tie it, you know, great night for Lucas Raymond, 3 goals, 1 assist. Larkin was terrific. DeBrincat getting some helpers. You tie it 5-5. And then just a bad miscue in overtime, and you let Sidney Crosby get near the puck. So it was 2 points there would have been huge. It's as you say, every game seems to be the next must-win game, even though it isn't because you can rely on others. But 2 points last night would have been huge, and you see it going forward. You need two against Toronto, and then you're home and home with Montreal Monday and Tuesday to close the season. And Montreal's been pretty good of late, so they're playing loose. And Red Wings have to run the table, and then you hope for some help.
Home and home with Montreal really changes how you look at their schedule. You look at some of the other teams, the Capitals, they'll have to play Tampa, Boston. You know, like they do have an advantageous finish. So this game against Toronto, what should Leafs fans expect from the Red Wings? Where are they at? Are they fully healthy? Are they going to see the best version of the Detroit Red Wings?
I hope so. And I don't know who's going to be in goal because they needed one more save or two than they got from Alex Lyon, who's been really good, even heading into the game last night. Alex, the wins weren't there. He was 2-3-2 his past 7 games, but his save percentage was around 930. So the Red Wings offense wasn't coming through. And sure enough, you get 5, and that's not enough on a night that you just needed another save. So I don't know whether it's going to be Alex Lyon going or James Reimer going. And we can talk about the travel day and the win against Toronto in here in January. But what I think you're going to see is a team that's determined with a lot of veteran leadership. They got some injuries they're dealing with. They played really well against Washington. Should have won the game, but for 2 miscues, lose it 2-1, although really 2-0 because Kane scored late. And had enough to win, again, just for a few miscues, and they needed saves and could have got 2 points last night. So I think if they carry on with the same game, they're a confident group. They just need it all to come together, and it has to for them tomorrow night.
We're talking to Ken Daniels, the voice of the Detroit Red Wings for Bally Sports. So you mentioned veteran presence, Pat Kane, just his impact so far. And then moving forward, Ken, in terms of, is he a Red Wing long-term here? Is there a chance that he may sign somewhere else? What's the overall feel about Patrick Kane since he's become a Detroit Red Wing?
Well, he's been unbelievable. I love watching Patrick. I love dealing with Patrick. Everybody does. He's been nothing but wonderful on and off the ice. And 44 points in 47 games, I believe. Pretty remarkable. Seven game-winning goals. He's played over just half a season and leads the team. I think sometimes they defer to him a little bit much, but he's looked nothing but healthy. Would I re-sign Patrick Kane? I certainly would, but Patrick's given no indication. But I really, you know, for people who say, well, what about Buffalo? I don't see Patrick Kane in Buffalo. I know he's from Buffalo. But even his dad, who likes driving the games, I just don't see the fit there in Buffalo. He loves it in Detroit. His son, Pat, is very close, although they're very young, with Alex DeBrincat's son, Archie. And you know the closeness that he has with Archie. And his partner, Amanda, is very close with Lindsay DeBrincat. They're all tight. And that's a big reason why. It was Alex, a big part of why Patrick Kane came to Detroit, let's be honest. I know Vegas was dying to get Patrick Kane, but he chose Detroit. And played at Honey Baked in the Detroit area, lived at Pat Verbeek's house, knows all about Detroit. So I know he loves it here. He wanted to come here. He loves everything about it. I think where he saw the Red Wings, were they on the verge of winning the Stanley Cup? No, but he thought he could help them get in the playoffs. And I think he's at least put them on the verge of. Again, it hasn't gone well the last month or so. But overall, if you would have said to Patrick Kane in December with 3 games left, we'll be within a point of the playoffs, he would have said, I'll take that. So I see no reason why. The long answer is that Patrick Kane wouldn't re-sign in Detroit. I would think a 2-year deal would be fitting for him. But again, I don't know what Steve Yzerman is thinking or what Patrick Kane's thinking at this moment. But I would think Detroit would still be the front runner.
Tell us about the job Derek Lalonde has done as the head coach. If they were to fall short of playoffs, would it be viewed as a failure, or is this franchise taking a step and moving in the right direction?
I think it's taking a step, and if you look at it now, if they miss the playoffs, is it a disappointment? Yeah. 100%, it's a disappointment. But again, to my earlier point, if you told folks in October, and we said all along on our broadcast, and everyone was saying it, if the Red Wings are playing meaningful games in March at the trade deadline, wouldn't that be great? Well, they're playing meaningful games in April with three games left. So I think they exceeded expectations, really, and then it becomes a disappointment. So it was the glass half full. I guess it's how you want to look at it. I personally don't think Derek Lalonde is in any trouble whatsoever, again, because this team exceeded expectations. I don't see a change. I believe he has 1 year left on his deal. I think he does. So, you know, as a GM, why are you making a change now when you didn't think your team, if you hoped they'd be close, but you didn't even think they'd necessarily make the playoffs? You hoped they would. That's why they signed veteran guys as they did. But I don't think Derek Lalonde's in any trouble.
Well, if he is, he can always land on Hockey Night in Canada during the playoffs and give away Tampa Bay Lightning secrets.
There you go.
Isn't he great? I know, and he used we a few times, and I get that. And Derek's such a personable guy, and he delegates so well, whether it be to Jay Verity or Alex Tanguay or Bob Bugner. He's not on the bench, hands-on, screaming. He may go after the refs sometimes, and I love that when Derek loses it on them. But he just delegates very well, and the players, as far as I know, really enjoy playing for him, and he can get the best out of many, and he can be tough when he needs to be. So that's how I view Derek. I think the first 2 years has been a good learning experience for the group, and they've come a long way, especially young guys like Sider and Raymond. And Lucas Raymond's going to be a star. And I think they've developed him very well, and they got some great prospects coming.
Ken, I know we discussed the goaltenders, and we're not sure what we'll see out of Detroit Saturday night definitively, but where is Ville Husso in all of this and the disappointment that he didn't get to be the goalie that they envisioned, I think, signing him?
Yeah, for sure, and hurt a lot, and two separate lower body injuries, and I believe he's in Grand Rapids and playing this weekend, so it's probably too late to even give him a go. I guess against Montreal, they probably could in one of them, but that's part of the reason why the Red Wings signed three. It was to be Alex Lyon, perhaps, in Grand Rapids, and they had Reimer and Husso, and then, Alex Lyon didn't start until he got to Sweden. When the Red Wings played and Toronto was there, what was it, in November, and didn't get a start until then, only because Ville Husso flew over to Sweden, and as soon as he landed, found out his wife was pregnant, and I believe was in Amsterdam on the way back when she had the baby. Mm-hmm. So Ville Husso went home and gave Alex Lyon a start, and man, outside of Dylan Larkin, he's been the Red Wings MVP this season. So they carried three goalies all year, figuring maybe if somebody needs somebody at the deadline, and then as it turns out with injuries, it came down to Lyon and Reimer. But Lyon has been terrific. And, Reimer's been pretty good, too, when he's had to step in. You can't really complain about his game. I think his last eight starts, he's 6-2 I'm looking at it, .924 save percentage. But if he were to play tomorrow, it would be his first start in seven. So if you go back to the game in January when he played so well and helped the Red Wings get a win against Toronto, that was a strange day. There was no time to think that day. They got in, an hour and a half? To the arena before the game,
right,
at the bank, and it was right before the game, and we were talking on the plane, and I remember coming off the plane with Rasmussen and talking to Kane, and we were just shooting the breeze. I said, these are the games you guys win, and Kane said to me, because you got no time to think about it. I said, exactly. They were so distracted with other stuff and plane issues that they went in there and said, what do we got to lose? Nothing but the game. They went in there and played well enough, and Reimer was great. No time to think. Maybe that's what they have to do tomorrow. Stop thinking, just play.
It hurts the ball club. I heard that in a movie once.
Thinking.
Thinking.
Don't think, mate. Yeah. It hurts the ball club. Little Bull Durham.
Here's what I think. I think Florida plays at Buffalo tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. So if Florida gets a point against Buffalo, the Leafs have nowhere to move, right?
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
No.
Right. Okay, so you rest Matthews.
We'll put in a word.
Yeah, put it in Florida.
We will
play against Florida because you're going to play the Panthers in the first round, so you want to set the stage. That's a big game on Tuesday, so play him there. It was funny. We were on the conference call, and we were talking about games that Detroit had to win, whether it was over Buffalo. And Detroit's had some costly losses this year, blowing a 4-0 lead against San Jose at home and losing in overtime, losing both games you played against Arizona, losing at home to Anaheim. Those are the points you look back at. You lose 1-0 in Nashville in a game the Red Wings could have won. But, boy, you blow points there. there. And we were on a conference call for one of our games. It was maybe when the Leafs had seven games left. And I said, I'm telling you, Red Wings have to win games now because Austin Matthews has seven games left to get seven. And you know he's going to be shooting for 70 against Detroit. And sure enough, here he is, just needing two for 70. He got 59 and 60 two seasons ago. I think it was early in the game against the Red Wings. He got 59 and 60 against Detroit, and now he's shooting for 70 again. So, if talk to Sheldon and just rest him if Florida gets the point.
Well, they listen to the show. We don't have to tell them. You just told them.
They're big fans.
Kenny, great stuff, great. Man. Have a great call with or without Matthews getting 70.
That would be fun, too, but hopefully the Red Wings are on the right side, at least make Montreal mean something for the next two. So thanks, guys.
Appreciate All right. It.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Best of luck the rest of the way. Ken Daniels, everybody.
He just called Crosby's 1,000th career assist.
Yeah.
And called him getting into the top 10 all-time in points. Could call Matthews 70. It's a good stretch for him.
Two back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Just to kind of put a bow on last night, did you learn anything more or less about the Toronto Maple Leaf blue line?
Well, before the game, I said that TJ Brody was in my lineup, game one for playoffs. He had been better lately, and he was so bad. And that really, I wouldn't say I learned something, but I question my previous stance now. And Edmondson needs some games. He needs to get moving.
And all of a sudden, yeah.
Boy, he got barbecued by Brat.
Yeah, it's the exact type of guy who's going to
get him,
sneak by him.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you look at the Leafs and the mobility, and you like Benoit, and you like Edmondson,
mm-hmm.
but they're great if they got body position on you, yeah. and they can push you to the side with their comfort zone, but the mobility and the ability to get back to the center of the ice to protect sometimes can be a little challenging. I think I learned last night that Jake McCabe's more important to the Leafs' blue line than
mm-hmm.
yeah. I might have previously thought.
Well said. The one thing I will say in Edmondson's favor is that the Panthers don't have Jesper Bratt and Jack Hughes types. Like, it's like Tkachuk and Cousins and Tarasenko and Reinhardt. Like, their wingers are not the little, like, beep, beep, beep guys. They're... That was my car-to-truck analogy.
Perfect. I don't think he could have said it better.
Yeah, it's more to his taste, I think, the way they play.
A few more dump trucks as opposed to speedy, sports cars?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two Coyotes, not two Roadrunners.
Yeah. They're the same playing speed, we'll say.
Mm. Hey, I got a question for you. Quickly. Honestly, you have a good feel about this stuff. How do you think Mitch feels without Marner? Without Matthews? Like, do you think he watches with Domi and sees
first of all,
the success?
I thought Mitch,
got a boombox outside his
I thought Mitch
window.
Gave Willie ample opportunity to close in on 100.
Did he ever?
Yeah.
I thought that line looked awesome.
I don't think
it matters?
I think when push comes to shove, mm-hmm. they'll be together.
Okay.
And in the meantime, still got a couple of games here to spread it out. But Mitch is coming off. How long was he out?
12 games.
Over a month,
mm-hmm.
maybe 6 weeks, close mm-hmm. to 6 weeks. So that's a long time. Edmondson was out, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
So you maybe give him the benefit of the doubt too. So maybe another important week to get these guys going a little bit.
I am far more confident in Mitch's ability to go to a different line and make that line matter than I am Max Domi. You know what I mean?
Yep. The one thing that I did notice a little bit here, too, over the last little while, it's like Mitch is so conscientious on the defensive side of it. Mm-hmm. Third guy high, first guy back. You know, if he loses confidence in some of the guys going to the net, you know, it kind of takes away from his offense a little bit, too. So they got to get a chemistry thing going right now.
Yep.
Just playing with Tavares and Nylander.
If Mitch is going to be off of Matthews, might be a good time to kick it in tomorrow night.
Yep. McMahon's just like, let's go.
All right. Thanks to Ken Daniels, who just joined us to help tee us up. The Toronto Maple Leafs ever so closer to a Stanley Cup round with what we believe are the Florida Panthers. But we're going to get into that in the next hour. What are the scenarios? How about the Boston Bruins? Are they going to finish on top of the Atlantic? Is Florida there? Still plenty to chew on in our next hour as we go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go away.